At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Let's go! This is the Big E Sports Show.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, here we go. March Madness continues. And we've got you covered over the next 2 hours. We are so glad you're with us on this Saturday afternoon right here at Sports Map Radio Network and the Big E Sports Show, powered by Progressive Insurance. Did you know the drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average? Go to progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Well, the NCAA tournament, it has certainly brought great excitement into our living rooms and office cubicles. So many massive upsets. It certainly busted my bracket. And we're going to get the tournament takeaways and what we have learned so far. Delighted to welcome in from CBS Sports Radio Network in Oklahoma City. And that is James Hale. All I can say, James, it has been a wild ride. Give us your takeaways. And why do you think we have seen so many upsets?
Well, there's so much parity in college basketball, and it's great to see you, by the way. The Sooners
can
use you in the post, both in men's and women's basketball this year. So come out of retirement.
Oh, okay, sure.
So, yeah, you know, we can get you going. But there's so much parity, and, the one and done, you know, it's ending this year. And, if you want to come out of high school and, you know, go to the NBA, you can, you know, now do that and things like that. But it's cleared, and, you know, you still have the last of the COVID years, and so you have some older basketball teams. And, you know, the transfer portal has changed everything, so you take a look at Kansas State and what they've been able to do there. You get a brand-new coach, and he has to replace everybody, right?
Yeah.
You know, so he brings in, 11 guys, has two guys, and, you know, he gets the All-American from Florida and gets a point guard that's an All-American, and all of a sudden – you know, they're beating the blue blood Michigan State, and they're getting to the Final Four. I mean, the Elite Eight, I'm sorry. So, you know, when you really think about that and you think about how that was transpired, that's totally different. You take a guy like Porter Moser, who's trying to build the program through the ground up at Oklahoma. Well, he's had to replace 9 guys the first year, 8 this year, and he's already had 4 hit the transfer portal here. How do you do that in today's game? Calipari at Kentucky is running into that. You know, he still has guys, you know, playing one and, you know, going to the NBA one and done, and then they transfer out. You know, Kansas has had 4 guys hit the transfer portal since they got beat out. So this is the new landscape of college basketball. And what it's done, it's changed the blue bloods, where the blue bloods who can recruit a deep roster no longer get to keep that roster. And when you don't get to keep that roster and all that talent gets spread out everywhere through the transfer portal, it evens the playing field. So then it comes down to a clutch shot here, a good coaching play here, a turnover here, a missed free throw here, and all of a sudden you have different teams rocking it. I mean, Princeton, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Princeton to win 2 games in this thing. You know, it's just shocking, right? And then the NIL game, E. Teams that are playing the NIL game, Arkansas, Alabama, Creighton, those are 3 or 4 teams that I've read about recently that are spending, massive amounts of money on NIL. They're winning, and this is what it takes. This is how you can get that #1 transfer portal guy to come to your school by offering him a great NIL and an opportunity to get deep into the tournament. Well, so all these things have changed the landscape. Now, college basketball, to me, has always been the cesspool of college sports. There's so much cheating, and there's things that go in it. But when we watch the tournament, you know, the NCAA tournament, it brings out magic to us. We can't take our eyes off of it. You know, we're going to a restaurant and wanting to sit in the bar so we could watch, you know, the games. Or we're going to get takeout and we're bringing it home because we want to watch the games. Or you're playing hooky from work. I know you never do that, but the rest of us, you know, play hooky from work. And,
uh-huh.
So we can stay and watch the games because it's magical. And we forget about all the the scuzzbud things that go on in college basketball that drove Lon Kruger to retirement and some others, you know, but it's a magical time. And a guy like Kelvin Sampson, who lost his twin sister recently and, you know, is just battling so hard at Houston, and they're going through so many injuries and things like that. You got to root for, you know, Kelvin Sampson, right? I mean, you know, I know Kelvin really, really well from his days, you know, at the University of Oklahoma. Now he's rebuilding this Houston program to now it's a constant top five, top 10 team. Then you got a legendary coach at Miami, and, you know, you've got all these things that are going on. That are still magical, despite the fact underneath the underbelly of college basketball, man, you know, it's a tough sport. There's no question about that.
You are listening to the familiar voice. What a great way to kick off our program this Saturday afternoon. James Hale, CBS Sports Radio Network, Die Hard Sooner Reports. And James, why don't we have you pause and connect with our audience? So where can they go to subscribe to your Patreon podcast?
If you're a Sooner fan, Die Hard Sooner Report, I'm going to give you five short or six, or three, sometimes it's three or four. It's whatever's going on at OU, short podcast today. It's not going to be an hour and a half. I don't like to listen to myself that much.
We love you, James.
You know, you know, it's 5 minutes or less. And if it goes over five, then I'm really worked up about something. But, you know, you can listen to them in your car. You can listen to them at work in the background. You don't have to look. Now, if I had Alyssa doing these reports, you'd want to watch the whole thing. But, you know, you got me. But, you know, so but that's the concept. You know, it's a Patreon. Just Google Die Hard Sooner Report, and I think you'll really like it. And for a small donation, you're rocking and rolling, and you get all the Sooner news you could possibly want.
It's a full-court press. You cover the Sooners, but also the Big 12 Conference, and that is one particular team that I want to talk about, the Kansas Jayhawks, the reigning national champions. Of course, they're out of the tournament, but they had to play without their head coach, Bill Self. I mean, what can you share about his health and how he's progressing, and just help us understand exactly, you know, what he was going through?
Well, you know, Bill's like a lot of us, you know. He had to have stints, you know, put into his heart. So, you know, he recovered to the point that he could work with his team. You know, he could watch film. He could help put together the game plan. They just thought it was too much of a risk, too early, too soon, to have him go to the arena and coach a game. And even though he promised he would keep cool and calm, you know, Bill's going to be Bill. And Bill isn't necessarily a ranter and a guy that just explodes. But he can, and he has, and, you know, so they did the right thing. Kansas didn't lose. I mean, would he have made up 2 points? I think so. I mean, I think Bill's worth 2 points a game.
Oh, yeah.
So I think they would have. But the most part, you know, Kansas, you know, they didn't score. And you know, they got you know, taken out of their game by Arkansas, who's a great defensive team. And you know, Arkansas can really scramble and do a lot of good things. And Arkansas, you know, eventually loses in this tournament because they can't score, but they scored enough in this game to knock Kansas out.
Hey, we are wrapping up our time. CBS Sports Radio Network in Oklahoma City. James Hale, give him a follow on Twitter, at JHale24. And let's close out our interview. Give us your takeaways from the Oklahoma women's basketball season. It was just incredible, and they share the Big 12 Conference regular season championship with Texas. So Jenny Baranchik has done just a fantastic job. Another amazing hire by Athletic Director Joe Castiglione.
Yeah, Jenny's great. And the three seniors, Anna Ledusa, Maddie Williams, and Taylor Robertson, were great. You know, when Sherry retired, Sherry was such an iconic figure, Sherry Cole, I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Hall of Fame coach at Oklahoma, got OU into two Final Fours and a national championship game, and really revitalized the program and sold out games at OU and women's hoops and things like that. You know, when she retired, the program was not doing quite as well, but her figure just hovered over the program. And here comes Jenny Baranchik, a similar type personality, maybe even more gregarious than Sherry, you know, but an attractive woman that was a very good basketball player in her own right, and was still active as a player, good enough that she can scrimmage with her own team and her own girls, You know, sometimes for a while she was the tallest girl on OU's team, so, you know, she had to scrimmage. And I know they called you, and you didn't want to come back. You're chasing golf carts and things. So
I'm
anyway,
a golf mom now.
I know. You know, but these three seniors could have left any time, and they didn't. And Anna fought all the way back she's had a back problem, an Achilles problem, and a ACL injury, and she's fought back from it all and had a great senior year. So these three, but they're the reason why the Sooners were so good. They're also why they're flawed. They're not a good defensive team. Taylor Robertson is not a good defensive player, but she's the greatest shooter they've ever seen in women's basketball. She holds the record for three-pointers. Her record streak of 73 straight games making a three was stopped, against UCLA. That was sad when she was on the bench at the end of the game because they can't put her in because defensively she can't help them at that point. But what they accomplished is great, and I think this legacy is going to continue at OU. They've got a good team coming back. They've got a couple of great recruits coming in. I think they're going to hit the transfer portal. They already have one great transfer that's come in. It's a 6'1 guard that is a former five-star player out of Louisville. And we'll see how it goes. But Jenny's done a great job, and I think people are catching on to this program again, and they're beginning to draw fans again because it's fun. She's Billy Tubbs reincarnated on the women's side. A lot better looking than Billy. But they run and gun it, and they bring it up the court. They get it up the court. They play one-on-one all the time. It's fun basketball, and they shoot threes, and they don't ever pass up a three. So it's fun basketball, and it's fun to watch. Whether you can win a national championship playing this way, I don't know, but I think Jenny's going to try to find out, and I don't think she's going to change. She's just going to keep trying to refine the defensive side of the ball and see if they can get there.
The future is bright. Legendary radio host of Total Sports with CBS Sports Radio Network in Oklahoma City. Also subscribe to Patreon.com, Die Hard Sooner Reports, and give James Hale a follow at jhale24. Great way to kick off our program. James, enjoy all the games tonight and this afternoon, and we will catch up with you again real soon.
All righty, thanks. Have a great day.
Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. We will be right back.
Listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Elissa Walker-Campbell. Welcome back. Hour one, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show, sponsored by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they are making things even easier. They will help bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. And you can learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive. Well, it is time to lace it up. It's a full court press. Our March Madness coverage continues, and it is safe to say that the 2023 tourney has definitely lived up to all the hype. It has been fascinating to watch, and we are delighted to, and excited, I should say, to open up our phone lines and welcome in legendary college coach, 31 years coaching D1, and that is Pat Kennedy. We love having you on the show. Hi, Pat.
Hey, Alyssa. Great being with you guys.
Well, we want you to give us your thoughts on just how things have played out this year, and also what were your expectations coming into this tournament? Because we were just visiting with our first guest about why are there so many upsets this year in 2023?
Well, I think this is a culmination, just to go over the upset scenario right now, is the portal, and teams, especially mid-majors, have been able to steal. You know, some of these kids go into the portal, and they think right away they're going to get a call from UCLA and North Carolina, and it doesn't happen. And all of a sudden, their value starts to slip a little bit. And now they get a call from Florida Atlantic, and they say, you know what? We better take that offer. So the portal, just like years back, Alyssa, we went from 15 full scholarships to 13 in men's basketball. And a lot of that was to facilitate Title IX, which is the right thing to do for sure. But that means every top Division I program lost two scholarships. So those scholarships have filtered down. So between those scholarships filtering down over the years, and maybe the fans don't even realize that, and then having the portal, it's a lot easier to pull together a team quickly. Like, you know, Rick Pitino will have a team together in 1 year. I mean, all of these guys, Ed Cooley will have a team in maybe two or three at Georgetown because the kids don't recognize the Georgetown name like they used to.
Well, we're seeing it. It is alive and well, parity in college basketball. And as you had just mentioned, I mean, the mid-majors, these schools, they have closed the gap, and they're producing, just looking at, Florida Atlantic and that big win against Tennessee earlier this week.
Yeah, and they did an incredible job because we all know Tennessee is a great defensive team that they
Definitely.
Are.
Definitely, yep.
I coached against Rick Barnes when I was at Florida State, and he was at Clemson. And they were always very physical, and they would bang you around. But you know what? In that first half, when Florida Atlantic couldn't find a mark for the three-point, I told my wife, I said, and she's been over 1,500 games. So they're gonna start, she said, they're going to start making them in the second half. I said, of course they are. They're going to hit some, and that's all they needed to do, and they did it.
Well, they definitely took care of business. Now, one team in particular, I definitely want to get your assessment of how their season played out. And it was the biggest upset, of course, Purdue. And, you know, when you reflect on their postseason play, in 2021, they lost to the 13th seed, 2022, the 15th seed. And in 2023, we saw it, you know, the 16th seed. So pinpoint, what's the issue, you know, going into postseason play?
Well, a lot of people talk about styles of play. Alyssa, you know, the Big Ten. A little slow, a little bit stronger, a little bit more big and physical. They tend to run more sets. They're a little more set-oriented. If you take a look at the Wisconsins and Michigan States, and the nation has changed a little bit. A lot more almost up-tempo Princeton style of play. Dribble handoffs, a lot of cutting backdoor, a lot of outside movement. So it's just like, you know, Fairleigh Dickinson didn't have a whole lot of problem. And I love Tobin Anderson, and he said it. Hey, guys, I've watched Purdue, and the more I watch them, the more I believe we can beat them. And so true is his statement. And if you took a look at that game, boy, the FDU youngsters just jumped an extra 2 or 3 inches higher. They were just another split second quicker getting to the ball. But the Purdue guys were not. They just figured they're beating them, and that's always something you got to work against. And at the same time, it's the lack of speed. Al McGuire, the great old Marquette coach, used to say speed is the single most important thing in a game of basketball. And he was 100% right about that.
You're listening to The Voice. Pat Kennedy joining us at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. He's been with us each and every week during March Madness. Legendary coach, 31 years coaching Division I. And let's talk about the mindset. You know, players, coaches, you know, they strive to succeed in postseason. How did you approach it, and what did you share with your team, and what do you do differently, if anything?
Well, you know, you always start the season. I go back to what Tobin Anderson said about the in his press conference at Iona. He was talking about setting great goals and great standards. And if you say that and you sell it to your team and you believe in it, well, then you try very hard to play it out during the course of the year. You know, I was Jimmy Valvano's assistant for 6 years, and no one dreamed more than Jimmy did. But I like what Tobin said, because he said dreaming is one thing, but believing in your heart that you can accomplish those dreams is really the key. And I believe in both theories. I know my Florida State team, we went to the round of 16 and then the following year, the round of 8, and everyone expected us to do that. And so I had to maintain a high level of standards and goals. And yet I had to keep my guys loose to where they didn't feel the pressure. And that's the big key. Accept the challenge, accept the pressure, be ready for it. Still got to execute, and you got to play well. But, you know, I hate to use the term, but don't put a gun to your head. Get out there, play together, love each other, and see what happens at the end. So that's the real key, getting that balance.
Well, then what I hear you saying, too, the postseason really starts at the beginning of the season, where you set the tone and that level of intensity, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And then you've got to continually reinforce it. And that's why, you know, you'll see teams come back from a really bad loss, and that's more has to do with the psychological than it has to do with practice on the floor. It's okay, guys, you know, let's shake it up here. It's almost like we used to say, again, not to use nasty terms, let's just everyone throw up. Let's all
nice descriptor, yeah.
You know, and just get rid of whatever was inside of us last night, and let's get ready for the new game. And, you know, when you release pressure from young people, they tend to respond in a positive way. And I always believe that. Jimmy V was a big believer in that, too. So everyone said, you know, why were Jimmy V's team so relaxed and so like, you know, full of fun and stuff? Well, that's what Jimmy made them feel and believe in. So that's why. And it's a great point you're bringing up about postseason play, especially the NCAA tournament year. A lot of experts talk about fans have no idea how hard it is to win an NCAA tournament game.
Hey, we're glad you're with us. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. Pat Kennedy, our very special guest, legendary coach. And talk to me some more about, you know, as a coach in those days, you know, how do you help a player take their game to that next level? Because it's that much more intense and the pressure just continues to rise.
Yeah. The big thing is obviously convincing you guys to stay with what you're doing. You know, I mean, if you were doing a great job of coming off of screens and giving a pump fake and getting that one dribble and getting in the lane and pulling up and shooting a jumper, then stay with that. Don't all of a sudden think, oh, it's a big stage, it's a different stage, now I'm going to play differently. So keep your guys strict to their own fundamentals, strict to the things that they do really well, and then that way they'll be comfortable, right? So you'll reinforce the philosophy of being comfortable and maintaining to do what they can certainly do. So that would be the one thing I would say. Stay with what you can do and continue to do it well.
Did you ever have a desire to coach in the NBA?
Well, it's very interesting. When I was first at Florida State, Jimmy Valvano was approached by the New Jersey Nets. And, of course, I'm from Jersey and the New York area. Jimmy, obviously,
yeah,
from the New York area. But I had always been Jimmy's kind of X and O guy when he was at Iona. You know, sometimes you get one good X and O guy with you that you're comfortable with. So if Jimmy had taken that Nets job, I probably would have went in there. Brian Hill, my very first boss, was the head coach of the Orlando Magic that took them to the finals.
That's right.
With Shaq, and I had a chance to do some scouting there. But, you know, right now, believe it or not, I'm coaching in high school. So I'm currently a high school athletic director and head coach here in the state of Florida. And as you know, a great state to retire to, so I'm having a blast.
Yes, and how did your team do this year?
Well, let's not talk about that.
We'll punt on that. Okay. One thing I do want to talk to you about is Rick Pitino. I mean, the coaching carousel, you know, you're seeing it spinning. So what can he do to revive St. John's program?
Well, he'll instantly get it going. You know, Rick is a very big name in New York. He played in Long Island. He played at UMass, was a terrific point guard. His years with the Knicks, you know, it's hard to win in the NBA. So your years are always limited. You get hired, you get fired. And he did a good job there, and he moved on. But I heard a father whose son is a great guard out of Stepanak High School in White Plains, New York, and he said, well, there's two things we know about Coach Pitino. He's a Hall of Fame coach, and he produces pros. So any of the high-level kids that feel like they're going to be able to go to the NBA and be a professional player, why not play for Rick? And he can drive out of that campus in Queens, and he can be in gyms and in kids' homes and no more than 35, 40 minutes and be able to put together a national championship team. Look at Noel last night.
Oh, yeah.
He lit the garden up. You can't talk enough about his performance of 18 assists. And that kid, I guarantee you, would have been with Rick Pitino at St. John's if the timing was right.
Florida State Hall of Famer 2017 class legendary coach, 31 years coaching at the Division I level, and that is Pat Kennedy, who joins us each and every week during March Madness. Listen, thanks so much for carving out time. Enjoy the games, and we'll talk next week.
All right, Alyssa.
Stick around. Much more coming your way.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell, I want to welcome you back on this Saturday afternoon as our March Madness coverage continues on Sports Map Radio Network and the Big E Sports Show, being brought to you by Progressive Insurance. For a job you'll love, visit progressive.com/careers. And we pride ourselves on delivering the biggest and best in sports. And anytime you think of iconic players and athletes, especially in women's basketball, Lisa Leslie immediately comes to my mind. She is a four-time Olympic gold medalist, WNBA legend with the LA Sparks. She's a basketball Hall of Famer. And Lisa is joining us on behalf of DraftKings. The DraftKings Sportsbook is now offering action on both the men and women's NC2A games. And we're thrilled to have her on the program for the very first time. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you on, especially this time of year. You know, March Madness has lived up to the hype. I mean, we have witnessed so many upsets. And I just got to ask you, I mean, I'm sure you were filling out all the brackets. Did your bracket get busted on day one like mine?
Oh, well, listen, it's awful how bad my bracket got busted. I'd say that my women's bracket's still looking pretty good.
Okay.
But my men's bracket is dismal. I mean, who would have thought Purdue would go down in the first round. Who would have thought Arizona would have gone down? So, I don't. Mine's not looking good at all. I'm definitely not an expert on the bracket.
Yeah. You know what, Lisa, we have talked a lot about this already on the program. We have witnessed so many upsets and a lot of parity in men's college basketball. The mid-majors, I mean, they've closed the gap and they're really striding out. What about the women's game? Are we seeing more parity on the women's?
I think so. I mean, to see Stanford go down to Ole Miss, I mean, hats off to Coach Yolette and their team. But to beat Stanford on their floor, nobody saw that coming, maybe except for her team. And although you hate to see, you know, a number one seed go down, in some ways I think it's just great for the game. It's not just so predictable. And then, you know, you have Creighton Creighton went down, but Mississippi State.
Yeah.
I mean, all of these teams that – you know, they're good, but you're not really sure what's going to happen in the women's bracket. Indiana, I mean, I really had Indiana all the way to the Elite Eight. I did think Utah could beat them, but, hey, I don't even know if Utah can get past LSU. And so I think the beauty of it is that none of us know. Each of these teams are working as hard as they can, and it's really tough when we have to – especially since we play the game, to try to put out predictions because we don't want to, you know, hurt any of these kids' feelings. They're all working so hard. But LSU has been, like, really playing so great. And we always know Kim Mulkey, she knows what to do. She has her team ready and prepared. But when I saw them lose to South Carolina, I was a little bit, you know, I thought they were going to be a little bit stronger than what they were. So then I wasn't sure. But you know what? Those are the types of losses that you don't forget. And they look like they've come back stronger than ever. And I think that's going to be a great game with LSU versus Utah.
You know, what I hear you saying is when we talk about March Madness, I mean, it delivers an exciting combination of competition and unpredictability. I mean, that's one of the reasons that we love it so much. I mean, it's a one-and-done type of format, and it's fascinating to watch. But for you as a former player, when this time of year rolls around, I mean, do you get a little bit nostalgic and those just so many amazing memories that you had during your playing days at USC?
Well, you know what? I wish in some times that I would have played in this type of era where you have so much support. I mean, you look at, like, what DraftKings is doing. When you talk about having support for the women's game and the fact that you have this social media and just so many eyes on the game, it's grown to a level that we're very proud of. But let me get back to the with DraftKings, they launched the women's tournament bracket pool. And for each entry, DraftKings donated $1 up to $25,000. And so, like, that's outstanding because that what that is doing is helping to grow the game. You're getting more people involved that are even betting on the game and betting responsibly, of course, but having fun trying to make these predictions. And again, everybody's bracket at some point gets blown up, but we had no idea. I don't think I've ever seen so many people engaged in both the men and women's bracket at the same time. Listen, when I played, we didn't have this much attention, okay? People
that's
don't
right.
remember. I went to two Elite Eights, but you know, unless you actually played in the Final Four, that's the only time that people were really paying attention and that we have, like, footage, you know, real footage of, like, what happened back in the 90s.
Well, Lisa, I'm going to brag on you to all of our listeners, our national audience. You had such an incredible career at USC. You led your team to an 89-31 overall record, four consecutive NCAA tournament appearances. And in 94, you were named the Naismith College Player of the Year, 12 years in the WNBA. And I'd love for you just to talk some more, just how far the women's game has come. And as you had just said, how much it has evolved. I mean, this is an exciting time. If you have a daughter, you want her playing basketball.
Absolutely. And I'm really happy. You know, when we started, and I say we as in us in the 90s and playing, you know, at first basketball was just a means to get a college degree. And that was it for me. You know, I was just thinking, I never thought that I would play professional basketball. I was playing because I knew when I picked up that ball at 12 years old, like, how was I going to be able to get to a Division I college or to USC up the street from my home? And that was it. And so for me, I think as a female, we're just so focused on, you know, our academics and just trying to really get to college. And so now the landscape has changed so much where these women are very aware, and even young girls, very aware of the WNBA and the possibility of playing professional basketball here in our country. It's changed the trajectory of the game.
Basketball Hall of Famer Lisa Leslie with us this Saturday afternoon at Sports Map Radio Network. Of course, joining us on behalf of DraftKings. The DraftKings Sportsbook is now offering action for both the men and the women's NCAA games. And Right now, I guess I want to take our conversation. Let's talk about, you know, making that transition, the hard crossover from basketball to business. Was that difficult for you? I mean, you have a very full life. You're a wife. You're a mom. What was that like for you, Lisa?
You know, the transition was never difficult, and I think it was because I didn't have that professional league sort of as my caveat. Like, that's what I was trying to get to. I was really trying to get my degree. I always wanted to be in the media and broadcasting initially, and so that was my first focus, was really just getting my communications degree as my undergrad degree. But then, obviously, as I got into business and started to, you know, work for myself and be self-employed, then I went back to school to get my master's in business, and it's been great. I have I'm licensed. I'm a professional licensed realtor.
Yeah.
And I enjoy helping people acquire and selling their properties. I'm a public speaker, and I enjoy that because I believe that's my spiritual gift, my ability to get out and speak on behalf of companies that are really empowering women. That's really my message, and I like to get behind companies like a DraftKings, who is really getting behind women's sports and really putting, you know, their dollars, you know, where their mouth is, where they're saying. They're really supporting us, and that's important to me, because if we can continue to grow our game, that means all these young kids, these young girls that are running around here who want to play, they're going to have the longevity of our league that will be there for them and have the support where they will make way more money than I ever made playing this sport. And I love that. And I have to do that for, you know, for my daughter, who actually, she didn't play basketball, she plays tennis, but still, you know, it's important.
Hey, we are wrapping up our time. Basketball Hall of Famer Lisa Leslie has been joining us at Sports Map Radio Network. And you talk about mentoring and also, you know, messages that you want to deliver. What would your message be to, you know, players, young players, you know, in the postseason? I mean, how did you approach that as an athlete? What did your coaches tell you so that you could be comfortable in uncomfortable situations? Because the stakes just continue to get higher as you win.
Well, you know, I never looked at it like that it was so hard. I mean, listen, we play a sport, and it's a blessing to be able to play a sport. And there are people out here in this world that have real life issues and hardships. And so to me, I always try to keep it in perspective that it's a blessing that I get to play the game, and I never took paper and I tried to play it as hard as I could. And that would be my message to all these young people. Like, while you have the physical capability to play this game and work hard, like, get your butt up early, you know, get out there on the track and run, get in that weight room, get your homework done. Like, I don't like complaining, and I'm that way with my kids. Like, you guys have so much. Like, we had so many less resources, and we had to work hard to make it. And so I don't want to hear any excuses. Like, there's somebody who, you know, my mom is battling cancer right now. She has stomach cancer stage 2. Bless her. She's doing well, and she's battling. And I'm like, when I go into the hospital and I see all of these people who are fighting for their lives, like, you have to really keep it in perspective that we are so blessed to be able to play a sport that we love. And that's important. So I don't want to hear it. Like, get after it.
Yeah.
That's what I tell them.
Lisa Leslie, we have got to have you back. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Of course, join us on behalf of DraftKings. The DraftKings Sportsbook is now offering action on both the men and women's NCAA games. Lisa, can you direct our listeners where they can go and follow you on social media, and also where they can learn more about DraftKings?
Yes, you can follow me on social media at Lisa Leslie on Instagram and Twitter, and I believe I am Lisa Leslie is on Facebook. I will be posting some more things about DraftKings coming soon, because there are so many different, like, giveaways and things that you can do in terms of when you're betting before the game, of course. you have to bet before the game.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different things that are happening. DraftKings doing an amazing job of just supporting and sponsoring. But I do want to say I'm so thankful to partner with, you know, a gaming company like DraftKings that's really supporting not just men's basketball, but women's basketball also.
Well said. Lisa, you take care. We look forward to another conversation real soon.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. But yes, much more coming your way at Sports Map Radio.
Listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker Campbell.
Hey, Elissa Walker Campbell, welcome back. Hour one, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show, sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Are you looking for a career where you will love flexibility, great pay and benefits at one of the country's top workplaces? Come join the growing team. Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. Our March Madness coverage continues, but right now we're going to do a crossover and shift gears. We're going to go around the horn and talk some MLB and preview the 2023 Houston Astros. And we can't forget, we got a long memory. The Astros won the World Series 4-2 over the Phillies before a capacity home crowd right here in Houston at Minute Maid Park. And we are so thrilled to have back with us to break it all down. And that is Astros beat writer in his 19th season, Brian McTaggart. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Alyssa?
Hey, it's good to have you on the program. And last time we had you on the show, we were celebrating the historic run for the Astros and just another world championship. So what's been the focus right now in the offseason? Just kind of get us up to speed on some of those offseason headlines and the movement that took place.
Well, I mean, they're, you know, probably the two biggest things that happened were they, you know, they lost Justin Verlander to the Mets in free agency, and they signed Jose Abreu, the first baseman from the White Sox, who was the AL MVP just a couple of years ago. They signed him to replace Yuli Gurriel. So, you know, they really didn't have to do a whole lot, of course, coming off a World Series championship. They had most of their players back. So, you know, losing Verlander hurts, but they have enough pitching depth, they felt, to where they could absorb that. And they do, as long as everybody's healthy. And then their lineup got better with Abreu. So if you looked around baseball this offseason, teams were spending hundreds of millions of dollars to try to improve their roster to do what the Astros just did. And that was win the World Series. And the Astros only had to make a couple little moves, although Abreu move was a big one, just to sort of get back to being the favorite, and they are the favorite again if they can stay healthy.
You know, Brian, you talk about some of the movement and how much they will miss perhaps Justin Verlander, but I think one of the biggest spring storylines is a second baseman, Jose Altuve, needed surgery to repair a broken right thumb after being hit by a pitch. So how's he doing, and how many weeks will he be out, and when will he return?
Yeah, that was a big loss. He was playing in the World Baseball Classic, got hit by a pitch on, I believe it was March 19th, so he had surgery a few days later. He's going to be out a couple of months, so I wouldn't expect him in an Astros game, I think, before June 1st, because he's going to have a long rehab, and he's going to have to play in some minor league games. So it's going to be a process, but that's a huge blow, not just because, you know, what he provides, you know, defensively. He's their leadoff hitter. He's their leader. He's, you know, the longest tenured player on this team. He's, you know, he's right now one of the top two or three greatest players in franchise history, and he had a great year last year. So losing him, for a first couple of months of the season really weakens their lineup. It makes them a little bit more vulnerable. So they're going to have to turn to David Hensley or Mauricio Dubon to try to replace that. They're not Jose Altuve. They're not going to duplicate his numbers. So it's going to be tough, I think, for the Astros as long as Altuve's out. But the good news is he's on the path to recovery. It's just going to be an 8-week recovery, it looks like.
Astros beat reporter Brian McTaggart with us at SportsMap Radio Network. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Brian McTaggart. And you're down there in Florida. So what are some of your observations? What have you seen from the Astros spring training? And who's been a standout?
Yeah, well, it's been weird because they had so many players play in the World Baseball Classic that it's most of their key players weren't here. I mean, Jose Abreu was here the whole time, the newcomer. What stood out to me about him was this guy, for all he's accomplished in his career, works extremely hard. He worked extremely hard at first base, trying to get better at first base, and he looks like he's going to be what he was advertised to be, somebody who can take the ball every day and start at first base, a guy who can drive in a lot of runs. So he's been impressive. Their starting pitching has been impressive. Framber Valdez, who's going to start on opening day Thursday at Minute Maid, has had a very nice spring. The Astros kind of urged him not to go to the WBC. They wanted him here. And after, you know, there's been some injuries at the WBC, that was probably a good idea. They did have an injury early in camp. Lance McCullers Jr. hasn't thrown. So that's got to be a concern as well. The guy that's opened eyes in camp is probably a guy not a lot of listeners have heard of. It's like an outfielder named Justin Dearden. He was undrafted in 2020, and he's just come in here and hit and hit and hit. And now he's put himself on the map for a chance to make this team, especially when you consider Michael Brantley is going to be on the injured list to start the year as he recovers from shoulder surgery. So that's just a couple of the names to keep an eye on. Alex Bregman's been here the whole time, and he's been Alex Bregman, so not worried about him. But it's it's been a long spring, but they're almost to the end.
You know, Brian, you've been covering the Astros, what, for over 20 years. Does spring training, does that translate to regular season success?
No, not at all, because the Astros have not had their starting lineup. They're in the same lineup for any game this spring. I mean, the way it usually works is they'll start three or four of their main position players, and then it's prospects. And also, even if they did start all of their eight or nine position players, by the fifth or sixth inning, prospects come in. So win-loss records don't mean anything. Pitchers are working on pitches. Batters are working on this. I mean, I couldn't even tell you what the Astros' record is in the spring. It really doesn't matter. I don't know what their record was in the spring last year, because when Thursday night comes around, opening day, and they have their A lineup out there, and they have Framber Valdez on the mound, the goal is to win the game. That's not really the goal down here at spring training.
What is the most pressing question for the Astros? What issues that might be lingering? I mean, it sounds like they're loaded from top to bottom, but where may they might be vulnerable?
Well, I think their number one issue going into the season is health. I mean, if this team is healthy, it's the best team in the major leagues. They have health issues right now. We talked about Altuve. McCullers is going to be out. Michael Brantley is going to be out at least at the start of the season. Yordan Alvarez has had this hand issue. He didn't get in the spring training game until Thursday. And Hunter Brown, their top pitching prospect, who they were counting on being in the rotation, had to be scratched from his last start down here because of a tight back. So Astros were really, really healthy last year, and that was one of the keys to their success. One of the reasons why, you know, they got to the playoffs and they were able to rest their players, because they didn't have many guys on the IL. And then when they hit the playoffs, their players were, and their pitchers especially, were pretty fresh. So they're already battling some injuries, and I think it's going to really test their depth. And I wouldn't be surprised if they try to make a move maybe before opening day to bring in a body or two to help them. But they need to try to get healthy by the time Altuve comes back, and then put themselves in a position to win the division again.
You were listening to The Voice, Brian McTaggart, Astros beat reporter at SportsMap Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. We've talked and highlighted several of the players, but we got to shine the spotlight on the manager, and that is Dusty Baker. He re-upped for another season immediately after the Astros beat Philly. So I'm just wondering, I mean, he's 73 years young. How does he find the energy, and what's the key to his success and longevity?
Yeah, he's amazing. He's an amazing man. Yeah, 73, and he's out here every day, and he loves every minute of it. I mean, I think there's a couple of things driving him. I mean, when he went into last year, there were two main things driving him. He wanted to get 2,000 wins, which he did. He wanted to win a World Series, because he'd never won one as a manager, which he did. So what's driving him now? He really wants to win a second World Series and match Cito Gaston, who is a mentor of his. Cito won two World Series with the Blue Jays. He's the only black manager to win two World Series. Dusty wants to join him in that company. And also, Dusty is rooming down here with his son. His son is a player and
he is
a pretty good prospect for the Washington Nationals.
Uh-huh.
And the Nationals and Astros share a spring training facility. So every night, Dusty goes home and he hangs out with his son, and that is something that I think is a pretty magical, phase in his life right now. And as long as his son's on the Nationals, as long as he can manage, he wants to keep that going forever. So he said over and over, his son keeps him young, and he is definitely the hippest 73-year-old that I know.
So, Brian, when you evaluate him, what is his strength? Because you think about his longevity, all the years that he has been, coaching, it's such an inspiring journey. But his ability to connect and adapt to younger players, I mean, the game has changed.
Yeah, the game's changed. And but kind of what I said a little bit before, too, like Dusty, he's young at heart. I mean, he's not – you talk to him and he can talk about modern music. He can talk about culture right now, but he can also give you a million stories of years gone by and give you life lessons that will blow you away. So he's able to touch a lot of different people and communicate. He's able to make everybody feel comfortable. He's so well respected in the game by everybody that I think players want to play for him. I think they want to win for him. And it worked out last year. He finally got that first World Series championship. But I've never really come across a player who played for Dusty who didn't like or respect him.
The Houston Astros winning their second World Series title in 6 years. And we are so thrilled that he has been with us. And that is Brian McTaggart. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Brian McTaggart. Also, where can they go to find out everything that you're providing on the Astros? Where do they need to go?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter. If not, go to Astros.com. Every day we have all the latest news on the Astros, and it's all free. There's no passwords. There's no paywalls, nothing to sign up. You just click on it and read, and we have videos, and that's your go-to source for all the Astros news.
Okay, good stuff. We're looking forward to opening day. Thank you, Brian.
All right, thanks for listening.